Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory. That's just full of scripture. The Bible says he will return white, riding, he's going to, a white horse. And on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's all scripture. That's what the word says. That's what we're looking to. The graves are going to open. People are going to come out from wherever they were buried. The ocean is going to give up the dead. There's sailors and people in the wars that fought that knew Jesus. They're going to come up. I don't know how God's going to piece everybody together, but he is. And they're going to be caught up with him in the air, the Bible says, and we will forever be with the Lord. Our life is very short, y'all. We're here for a limited time only. But eternity is forever. It's forever. We need to be ready. Be instant, in season and out of season. What does that mean? When you feel like it and when you don't. When everything's going your way. See, we're here. We're the planting of the Lord. We are his army. There isn't other voices. It's us. And other people like us who understand that. We're not crowd pleasers. We're God pleasers. I just praise the name of the Lord today. I felt the presence of the Lord in a very tangible way when that music was going. You know why? It was about him. It wasn't about what we're going through. Have y'all noticed the difference? I mean, God knows we go through stuff. Jesus went through stuff. But there's something about when you're focused on what God has done and the majesty of God, the plan of God, the salvation of God. He just shows up and goes, yes, 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 yes. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? Precious, 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 precious. Words of life. Precious words of life. Glory to God. Precious words of life. Happy New Year. I'm going to be talking today about the new. And I had this little thing that kept coming to me. Out with the old, in with the new. Out with the old, in with the new. I'm going to start in Hebrews chapter 8 this morning. If you got your Bibles this morning, if you could turn there, that'd be awesome. Hebrews 8. And we'll start in verse 6. Out with the old and in with the new. And I'm going to tell you, this has application beyond just what I'm reading. And we're going to pick out some of these little seeds. You know, I love these little special little that are wrapped up in there. I'm going to pull them out this morning for us to look at. You know, we were doing some cleaning out stuff, reorganizing some things. Hannah and I ended up going to a store and where you can get organizer kind of things. And we came across these. They looked like big trash cans. They were kind of oval shaped, but they had a top that would fasten on each side of the top of this trash can, and it had a handle on it. And you put your rolls of wrapping paper in that thing. And of course, since it was upstairs, we're always up and down, up and down, up and down with Christmas paper and wrapping and whatever, and just a mess. And so you just grab that whole little thing and then just take it downstairs with you. And then you can pick all the wrapping paper and stuff out of there. It's just a little organizer thing. And so I said, that is good. That is so good. We will buy two. So, and then I'm going to go back and get some shelving. But, you know, there's things sometimes that need to be cleaned out. There's some things that you just don't have it organized in a way that is very useful to you, or as useful as it could be to you, right? Out with the old, in with the new. You know, you can have a new thought. It's okay. You might have been doing something the same way for the last 7 years, and it was a hassle every time you did it. Have you thought about how you could make something easier? Have you thought about how you could reorganize some things? God's talking to us, and I'm not talking just about wrapping paper, am I? No, y'all know me better than that. Hebrews 8, I'm starting in verse 6. But now Jesus, our high priest, and of course, he's always, Paul's, you know, we know that in Paul's writings as well, he talks about comparing Judaism and the old covenant and then our new and better covenant. But I'm talking today about the new. But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. I'm reading out of the NLT. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. Do we understand that that old covenant was to be fully replaced? Replaced? For years, the church did not understand this. They kept blending them. I grew up in that. It was a mess. It was very confusing. Do y'all agree? You're going back and forth about, well, which one is it? Well, I thought, how can I be forgiven? Because it says I got to do this. I got to fast and pray. Fast and pray. You know, all that, it just goes on and on and on. And it was to come to replace it. When you replace something, that means the former one is no longer used at all. It is often just discarded. Discarded. It was replaced because you found something better. But when God found fault with the people, he said, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. See, he's still talking. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant. So I turned my back on them, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. In other words, I'm going to put something inside of them when they know right, so they know right from wrong. I'm going to put something inside of them where they don't have to go back to some little tablet over and over and over to see what did I want them to do. And he ended up sending in the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit comes to convict you, talks to you. You know, and he wrote it on our hearts. Our hearts became the tablet. Our hearts became the scrolls, if you will, of what God wanted to do. I love that. That was something new. He says, and they will not, he said, I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives. Blah. And he goes on and on. When you get down to verse 13, it says, when God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear. See, you will never live in 2022 again. It's obsolete. It is now out of date. Y'all understand? Your calendar has something new. God says this is what he did with his word. All those old covenants, all the ways people lived, how they did their lives, how they interacted with one another. All that is over with. And I've said this before. God showed a lot of leniency and mercy with people because a lot of the things they came up with was not God's original idea. But he was merciful. He was merciful. He was still trying to reach them. He was still trying to train them. The Messiah had not yet come. And he understood that. So he was trying to get the people where he could at least contain them somehow so they wouldn't go off into hedonism and be a bunch of heathens and drift away completely. So I see God as being very, very understanding, long-suffering, and incredibly tolerant. Because people's interactions with each other, as we have looked at many times before, was corrupt. As soon as they sinned, everything was a mess immediately. And the earth that they were had been to govern now produced thorns and thistles. And then we had prey and predator. We had oppressor and the oppressed. And it's been that way ever since. But when Jesus came, he came so that he could do a spiritual work in us to lift us up out of the dominion of Satan, so that Satan no longer had power over us to control us or have anything that where you just couldn't resist him. And he came and he gave us power over all the power of the enemy. You have power. You have power. You don't have to, I'm going to go to this person because they have power. No, you have power. Everybody got the same Jesus. You didn't get a different Jesus from anybody else. God may use them differently in the body of Christ, but it doesn't mean they have more power than you have. They may have more understanding. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So don't confuse having understanding with having more power. Go do that. Out with the old. In with the new. In with the new. Give me this new covenant any day. Any day. Any day. Put me around the people of God any day, where I will not be yielding to oppression anymore. Nor do I have to. Nor was it God's ever his will. Ever. He did not come to oppress. He did not want people to oppress other people. That was not God. And people misinterpreted the scriptures, and they used man-made laws that God barely tolerated. And they decided, that's God's will. No, it wasn't God's will. Oppression is not God's way. But he had to work within the framework of what humanity would understand at the time. You know, how do you understand God? This is why Jesus came. And God just said, y'all keep trying to reach him and help him understand about love and loving your neighbor and being kind to people and doing good to people and remembering the poor. You know, I'm trying to, and there, but they're off again. They're off again. Look in 2 Corinthians. How y'all doing out there this morning? Chris. Look in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to start at 5. Let's see. I will start in verse 15. This is speaking of Jesus. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ. Wait. So this new life means you don't live for yourself. This new life means you live for Christ. Did y'all's Bible say that too? Okay. Instead, they will live for Christ. You don't live here on the planet for yourself. Once you're born again, it didn't matter. You know, it's kind of like we find ourselves sometimes in circumstances we wish we weren't in. And we say, well, this can't be God. Well, it might be. It sure might be. I don't know why our life becomes so disconnected from the Word of God so often. Have y'all noticed that? How easy it is to disconnect from the truth, because the world system is not going to help you understand this. It can't. The world system says you're out for yourself. You know, you need to get all the money you can. That's what's going to make you happy. Of course, we see that's not true all the time. Our life is to be completely devoted and given over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. When you gave your life to Jesus, he took your word that's what you meant. Did you take his word for what he means? Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Yep. So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. Are we there yet? We have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. Early on, that's how they saw him. Oh, that's Jesus, you know, Mary and Joseph boy. He's kind of strange. No, I don't let my kids play with him. He's weird. I mean, there were people, you know, I'm just saying. The Bible doesn't say that. I'm just putting things. You know, I'm just saying, when you've got a child who always obeys, it's never been in trouble because he always obeys. You know, people go, that kid's weird. He just, you know, his mama calls him, come home. He stops what we're doing. We're in the middle of something. He just goes home. He obeys. How differently we know him now. Now we finally understand. They said, we finally got it. We understood why he was the way he was. We understand. But there was a new thing going on here. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. When you were saved, you became a new person. Now, God says that's what happened. If you are really born again, you want to please Jesus. If you have no desire to please God, I would question your experience. What did you really do? What really happened? Did you kind of get close to being saved and didn't get saved yet? You know, you can get real close to being saved and never be saved. Until you give your life to Jesus and receive what he did for you, paying for all your sin on the cross. And when you're baptized, that's what that means. You're dying to yourself. And when you come up out of that water, it says you come up into a new life. And it's a life with Jesus. And it's the best adventure you'll ever have. See, this is what gets me. People go through things all the time. People in the world go through stuff all the time. But a lot of times when the people of God go through something, they go, well, God, where are you? As if somehow we're immune from the decisions of other people around us. I've gone through stuff because of just other people's decisions. They made choices, and then I ended up going through something because of their choices. Well, God wasn't trying to make them be difficult. They just chose it. See, God doesn't fix everything. He doesn't fix everything on the planet, y'all. He's not the fairy godmother. He doesn't just wave a magic wand. That's not who he is. He comes so that we change, and as we change, we become agents of change. See, you were saved so that you could be an agent of change in someone else's life, so that their life can change, so that their life is better, so that they can know Jesus. This is why you were saved, not just so you can be comfortable. And everybody in here, you've got a roof over your head. You move in Tuesday. You're moving Tuesday. Praise God for that. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? You come a long way. You come a long way. Proud of you. So out with the old and with the new. Don't let thoughts trip you up. We got to remember who we really are. You are who God says you are. You are not who you feel you are. You don't elevate your feelings that day above the Word of God. That's you telling God, I don't believe you. Every time we do that, that's like saying, well, God, I don't believe you. I know it says that, I just don't believe it. Because I don't feel that way today. They weren't nice to me, or I didn't win the sweepstakes, or whatever it is you've done. I prayed and prayed to win. You know? And so you're mad at God. You know what? If once you realize that all the evil that happens in the world, Satan is behind it. He's never blamed for anything. People always blame God. They damn God. They never damn Satan. I've never heard anybody damn Satan. They don't use that kind of speech about him. And he just gets off just free. Like he just kind of flits about with his deceptions. And then people are angry at God for something they chose to do, and it went bad because they didn't consult God, but now they're mad at God. It didn't turn out right, but they weren't listening. I think the biggest flaw we can have is just not being a good listener. God will put people in your life you listen to. It's not his fault you're not listening. They were put there for you to help you grow so that you could prosper while you live here. It's God's will for us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So out with the old. If you got some old viewpoints, they're not doing you any good. They've never done. You have an old way of dealing with problems, and you deal with it the same way pretty much every time. Out with the old. It's not working. Whatever isn't working, get rid of it, and get on the page with God. Doesn't He know what He's doing? Don't you think that the one who made you, knows you best, loves you most, can help you the best? But we got to listen. We got to listen to him. Now look in Romans 6. Romans 6. I'm starting verse 4. The Bible says, For we died and were buried with Christ. By baptism, this is what it represents, your death to yourself. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. See, that's like breath of fresh air. You can live a new life. And I'm here to tell you, you can live a new life this next year. You can discard things that have been in your way a long time. You can discard things that you say that are always in your way. You can discard some vocabulary or word usage. Discard it. Get rid of it. Has it helped you so far? You can discard complaining. You can discard all kinds of things that work against what you say you want. And it will work against you. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. See, the whole point was that sin would no longer have power in your life, but that you would have power over sin. And sin is basically what God won't agree with or put a stamp of approval or smile about. That's just the easy way to put it this morning. We are no longer slaves to sin. You know, everybody wants to be free. Boy, in America, we're about our freedom and our rights and our everything. I see a lot of people that they're slaves. They're totally enslaved and don't realize it. Somebody can start an argument and they feel like they have to fight. They got to do this. They got to do that. They're just Satan's pawns. They don't even know. They're a slave to Satan. He is their God. If Jesus is not your God, Satan is. He's God of this world, the Bible says. And until Jesus rescues you, which he did on the cross, but until that reality becomes your reality and you are born again, you are automatically on your way to hell. Because sin does not come in the presence of God. God hates sin. He hates it. Sin is what destroys people, and he loves people. And sin cannot go be with God. It's not going. So there was a real dilemma. We needed Jesus. We needed Jesus. Now, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. See, everything Jesus did, he wants us to do. Do you see that? It's like he said, I showed you how. And he says, now I want you to be like this. He wants us to be like Jesus in every single way. In every single way. I've heard people say, well, I'm not a guy. I mean, that's just easy because he could travel. He could do this and go, no. You have the same Jesus. This is not a race thing. This is not a gender thing. I mean, you have Jesus. You have power. Period. Wow. He didn't divvy it up. We have access to the same God. Same one. I love this. When he died once to break the power. He broke the power of Satan so that when you become a child of God, Satan does not have power over you. When I say that, what does that mean? He cannot break your relationship with Jesus no matter what he wants to do. He can't make you think a thought you will refuse to think about. He can't. That's why he said you can take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Satan can't make you think. He can suggest something, but if you sit and linger, that's on you. That's on you. Because you can resist the devil and he will flee from you, Jesus said. Now, do we believe that or not? Do we believe if I resist the devil, he's going to flee from me? I was talking to Dee on the way here this morning, which is nothing new. Me talking to him or being on the way, either way. But I was saying, you know, I was listening to F.F. Bosworth, and he was talking about how he had told Miss Bosworth. He said, I put some money in your coat pocket this morning. And she said, okay, good, thanks. This was from way back when. He was old, this old stuff. But he said it's amazing how, and he had this thought, it's amazing how quickly we will believe someone and how quickly we will doubt God. People believe social media before they believe God most of the time, and then come to find out it wasn't true. And God cannot lie. But we'll believe other people. They can tell us almost anything. We're so quick to believe them and doubt God. Do you very often doubt that what somebody's telling you is true or not? Generally not. Generally not. We usually don't just run around and doubt with people. But Satan will cause you over and over and over. God will say something to you, and he'll cause you to doubt. Or did God really mean what he said? I mean, because you were real sleepy when he was talking to you. I mean, he'll come up with all kinds of things so that you'll doubt him, so that you'll doubt God. It goes on to say, so you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. You know, you could live a life serving sin. You just serve the devil your whole life. Don't even, a lot of people have served devil their whole life. They didn't realize it. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. There's that word new again. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Live for the glory of God. Out with the old, in with the new. In with the new. New thoughts, new ways of looking. If you have patterns in your relationships with other people where conversations get real twisted up, let's start looking at that closely and see, what can I do to change? What can I do to change? Do you understand what I'm saying? You have a conversation, all of a sudden somebody's ticked off, something's happened, something went square nuts. I think we need to look at what can I do to change? What can I do? What can I do so those kinds of conversations don't happen every time we try to have a conversation? Don't understand. You can have something new this year. You can decide. You can decide. You have the power. You have the power to change, because the changing agent lives with you and is in you. You have a changing agent. See, we're changing all the time no matter what we do. I mean, I have changed since I was 12 years old. See, you're changing every day, whether you realize it or not. Your body's changing. There's a lot of things that are changing in you every single day. So it's not like that it's hard to change. It's easy to change. You've been doing it effortlessly. You've been changing effortlessly. Some of it, maybe we should have had more effort. But there are other things. I just want you to understand that you are changing. So let's be more determined about how we're changing. What we're changing. Why we're changing. Out with the old, in with the new. It's a new day. 2023 is a new, it's a new start. It's a new start. And if you blow it today, tomorrow, you can start again. As a matter of fact, you can start immediately after you realize you blew it. And you can begin to think, okay, God, help me with that. What is that? What is that? Why do I keep doing that? What is that? How can I change myself? What is it? Talk to me. Help me. See, anytime something goes awry, or maybe you have somebody at work and they're just like, they just get great on your nerves. Has anybody ever worked with people like that? Or they just... Okay, well, we have one incredibly honest person. Okay, there we go. Okay. Because everybody wants to be right with God. But it's just, and you're going to have supernatural help. Lots of it. Because, you know, when you get up, that person's probably the same that they were, and they have not been motivated so far to change. And I've said this before, the person that's in the most pain is always the person who must change. Because the person who's in no pain, there's no motivation for them to change because they're always getting their way already. They're like it. They like it. They get their way however they do that. They may scream or rant or rave or just threaten in some way or raise their voice, whatever it is. But they get their way. They get their way. So you have to say, okay, God, how am I enabling that? How am I contributing to that? And what might I do to change me? To change me. And that's where it starts. That's where it starts. Out with the old, in with the new. In with the new. Look at Colossians. I want us to understand that the Bible is full of examples using the word new covenant, a new and living way. You know, his mercies are new every morning. There's all kinds of things where it uses the word new. And new, just by definition, means something that wasn't. A change of some kind. So when you were saved, there should have been a shift in us to want to be more like Jesus. And when you misbehaved or did old deeds, you felt bad about it. You couldn't just do that anymore. Not without feeling guilty, not without feeling bad, not without feeling conviction, the conviction of sin. And that conviction of sin is your friend. That's God trying to say, wait. Remember, we got a new life. We got a new life. So it's good that you can't feel good about living your old life. That's a blessing of God. That is Him helping you get on the right page. Why? Because His greatest desire is to bless you. God is a blesser. He's not a dammer. He's not a dammer. He's not. He's a blesser. I want everything He's got for me. I don't want to leave this world not having done everything He wanted me to do. And I really mean that. Jesus did everything. I cannot imagine everything He went through. The half is not. It says, you know, really the half has not been told. Even about the miracles and everything He did. And everywhere there were miracles, there was always opposition, remember? Miracles means opposition. Miracles means Satan showing up. Miracles means some sort of persecution. Miracles mean misunderstanding. Miracles mean being accused of something you never did. In Colossians 2. I'm sorry, verse 11. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Remember, he was always talking to the Jews in one of Paul's letters, because in the Jewish culture, that was the symbol of the old covenant, okay, with circumcision for males. And it says, but not by physical procedure, Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. It was to signify the cutting away of flesh. That's what the circumcision was symbolic of. Your sinful nature. That's what the flesh is. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I don't like anything being in the way of that. That's your sinful nature. You want to have your way. You want everything to be convenient for you. You want things, people to kind of, you know, let you be however you want to be, whether it's right or wrong, that sort of thing. But he's saying, it was the cutting away of your sinful nature. This is what Jesus came. This is a circumcision of us, of our very soul, our very heart of who we are. It says, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life. There it is again. Because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. It was this trust that we had that Jesus really did come up out of that tomb. It would all have been for nothing if he wasn't raised from the dead. And he couldn't have been a great prophet because then that prophecy wouldn't have come true. And he said he was going to be buried and then he was going to get up out of the grave. He told his disciples that. That would have also made him a false prophet if he hadn't come up out of the tomb. I'm telling you, he was risen. He was risen. And all of heaven rejoiced. And there are religions that say he was just a good prophet. No, he was a terrible prophet. He was a false prophet if he didn't come up out of the tomb. They need to do more of their research before they start saying he was a great prophet. He was more than a prophet. He was the Savior of the world. He was God in flesh. God wrapped up, encased in flesh, turned loose on the general public to show us who God really is. Somebody that people wouldn't be frightened of when he walked up. He just looked like an ordinary guy. I mean, you didn't hear special sounds when he walked up or anything. He was just an everyday guy. Oh, don't you love that, though? I love that. You're raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. That's why you were dead. Your nature was the same. You were born. You're born, and you have a sinful nature. I never had to teach one of my little kids to lie when they were little ones. Who took the cookies? Nobody did. It's amazing. We had invisible something going on in our house because, no, I didn't. I didn't take the cookie. I didn't take the cookie. I mean, just, you know, little kids do. You have to teach them to lie or to take something that doesn't belong to them. Mm-hmm. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. If that's all it was, that would be enough. He forgave all our sins. Did you know until your sins are forgiven, none of them are? That apart from Christ, nobody's sins are forgiven? Because there's no way for them to be forgiven. Because Christ was the answer and the payment for those sins. Had to be a blood sacrifice. And it had to be a human person, because human people turned it over to Satan in the garden. It was humans. And when they faltered and fell, that authority and dominion went to Satan. He still has that for unless you come to Jesus. This is serious, because a lot of people don't understand this, that people automatically are on their way to hell. They're breaking. People died. The whole time I've been talking, people, person after person after person. And the Bible says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, that most people will go to hell. They want to do what they want to do while they're here. And they're not hearing the truth. Because you can't get free apart from truth. You can't do it. You can't. You have to hear the gospel. You have to hear the provision that was made for you freely. It didn't cost you anything except to say yes. Yes, Jesus, thank you. I believe that. I believe that's true. Yes, I'll serve you. Yes, it's worth it. Because see, since you're an eternal being, you're going to live forever either apart from God or with him. And until Jesus comes into your life, you are automatically going to live apart from God forever. And there's no way out of hell. There is no purgatory. There is no place where you're going to get prayed out of, because that would violate your choice. If people could pray you out, that's them. That's down their choice. No, that would violate your choice. We baptize little babies. Well, people do it if you want to dedicate a baby. That's one thing. But when you baptize a baby and you tell them now you're going to go to heaven, that's a mistake to say to somebody, because all their confidence was now in what your decision was. They've never made their own decision yet. God will not override your own personal choice. You can raise your children in church, but that doesn't mean that they know Jesus personally. They have to make their own choice. Their own choice. But I love that about God. See, God doesn't force himself on us. Satan will. He's very forceful. He comes in, he's, you know. And Jesus just says, come follow me. Come follow me. Oh, wow. Satan comes in like a railroad train to mow you down and help make you knuckle under. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. You had charges on your record. See, the Bible talks about the books are opened. There's a book written about your life and your choices that God has right now. This is why when judgment comes, God just rolls out every time you had a chance to receive Jesus and you rejected it. You rejected him and rejected him and rejected him. He's got a record of it all. He also has a record of when you received him, when you loved him, when you said yes. And as soon as you said yes, all the other stuff was erased off your record. As if you had never sinned. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. It's not just any blood. It was divine blood. He had human flesh, but his blood was divine. God in the flesh. So he canceled the record of the charges against us. He canceled them, but they were there. And took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. In terms of them having power over you, they were disarmed. They have no weapons against you. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. So it's kind of like we're not dealing, which he's talking about weapons, deceptions, and the trickery of Satan to tempt you or to trick you into sin and stuff. And he says he disarmed those. And that's why you have to know the word of God. You have to know who you're dealing with. Because they were disarmed, which means when you believe somebody, they're not even holding a sword or a knife or anything. They just have a big mouth. And they're telling you things and they're threatening you. Satan, when he shows up, he has no armor. And he has no weapon. He's just a big mouth. And he just tells you things. And then he tells you more. And the more you listen to it, he tells you and tells you and tells you. You'll never amount to anything. Poor me. Well, I don't have this and I don't have that. And he goes on and on and on and on. That's his only weapon he has. When he went up to Adam and Eve, all he had was words. He couldn't force them to do anything. Why? They had more power than he did. They were created just a little lower than God. They didn't use what they had. Do we use what we have? See, when you don't use what you have, you end up like Adam and Eve, wilted and pitiful. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to go to verse 23. And then I'm going to go on down to 2:2. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Boy, and when I got there, I paused. Because I think there's problems there for a lot of people. Just unkind speech. We just say things and it's like, woo, 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 where's the kindness? Put down remarks. Trying to make somebody feel less than. Like, what is that about? Is your ego so fragile you have to do that to other people? Is your self-esteem so low that you have to lash out at other people and cut them down? See, when you know who you are in God, you have a very healthy self-esteem. It comes from Jesus. It doesn't come because you're so perfect. No, it comes from him because he esteemed me worthy to die for. I matter. I matter. I have value. I do. He told me I did, so I just believe him. I believe him. When you don't value yourself, you're not believing God. You don't believe you really matter. Well, how are you going to be effective in the kingdom of God if you don't even believe you even matter? You'll be afraid to say anything or do anything. And you don't want to use your tongue to hurt other people. See, Satan always uses his tongue. See, his mouth. He'll get you to act like him. He wants you to act like him. Right? Yep. And he will entice you. And he'll provoke you. He'll use people to provoke you so that you finally lash out at somebody, say something, put somebody down, tell them they're stupid or they can't do this or you don't do this right, all those kinds of things that people do. And you're acting like the devil when we do those things, unkind. But we don't have to. Out with the old, in with the new. We don't have to. If it's been a problem this past year in any of those areas I've talked about, I'm just telling you, out with the old, in with the new. He tells us these so we understand we can change. He tells us these things so that we have hope. That, well, I can change, I can change. You can change. He's given you power over all the power of the enemy. How much power do people want? See, the main thing you need power over isn't other people. The main thing you needed power over was the devil, and he gave you that. You already have that. He's a deceiver. This is why the Word of God is so important. And when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, he quoted the Word of God. And then finally he said, "Get behind me, Satan." In other words, back off. Get out of my face. Somebody tell somebody to get behind you. They're not in your face anymore. And that's what he said to the devil. I love that. Jesus showed us how to deal with the devil. He showed us how. Let's keep going. This is good. This is good. So he says here, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. Goes on, you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. This is what I was talking about before. See, your life is going to live forever somewhere, either with Satan forever and ever and ever, and all those demons. You'll be living with demons. There are people, they've been troubled by demons their whole life. Unless they come to Christ, they will live with demons forever. Now, see, this is the part that just gets on me, because this is why I want people to know Jesus so desperately. And this is why God wants us to reach out to people. And so, because God wants them to be with him. He made them for that. It says in chapter 2, so get rid of all evil behavior, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. And I love where it says you will grow into a full experience of salvation. See, we were meant to grow. There's some people, they get saved, but they're never really discipled. You can't get them to come learn. And so they never have a full experience of what the salvation was there to provide. They never grow into it. They just say little. And they never experience everything God had for them, or even the provisions of God for them that he has for them, waiting for them. But they can't tap into them because they won't grow. They don't want to grow. I'm saved. I understand all that. That's good. I'm good. And then they go and live their life basically however they want to. That's not salvation. That means you never have the full salvation experience of what God had for you while you were here. And he wants you to have it, though. He wants you to have it all. And then this is my last one. Look in John. The book of John. Out with the old, in with the new. We can change. There are things. God wants this newness, his life of newness, to be fresh in us all the time. So that we're always ready to change. We're ready to change. We're ready for the new things that God wants for us to do and say. Look in verse 31 of John 13. This was right after Jesus had the Lord's Supper. We call it the Lord's Supper. It was Passover. He was with the disciples. He was fixed to go to the cross. Judas had just left the room. As soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will give his own glory to the Son, and he will do so at once. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Talk about new things. New commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. This was a commandment from Jesus right before he went to the cross. So I think that would be important, don't you? He'd been teaching them, they'd been training them. And then he says, now I have a new commandment to give you. See, the commandments are not to be optional, are they? See, to us, we think it's optional. Well, I'm just not going to love them. They did this to me or they did that. I don't see a way out of this. I've looked. There's not. It was a commandment. Now, when you give your life to the Lordship of Jesus, that means he's your commander. He commands. He has every right. We have been purchased by his blood. He has every right to tell us what to do. And what he said was, love each other just as I have loved you. Now, y'all, that's deep love. That's not a superficial love. It means you really care. It means you really pray for people. And when they're hurting, you're concerned. And it says also, it's indicated in here that it's something you can demonstrate. Love is meant to be demonstrated. Did you know that? He says, as I have loved you, I want you to love each other. And then he says something very profound. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. If you can't get along with each other, then it's real hard for people to believe in your God. I'm just telling you, if you can't get along with your brothers and sisters in church or your family members who are saved, and for some people, I think they've been a problem in their family. Usually there's one person who's just so difficult and everybody dances around that one person just to try to keep peace, just to whatever. I think God has more for us than that. I think we can change. I think not only can we change, but as we are agents of change in our family system, other people can too. So when people are, I think you need to be honest with people. I don't think anything happens without honesty, but you don't have to accuse somebody of something else for you to be able to speak your mind. I believe God's given us a ministry of reconciliation. That reconciliation is so that people can be reconciled to God, but so people can be reconciled to other people too. And we can't have unkind words. You cannot have unkind words to people and then want to be around you. I have never been gleeful about being around people that just say really unkind things to me. It's hard. Oh, y'all, they're just like, are y'all still in the room? So I'm saying this next year. This is even when you have something to discuss, let your words be seasoned with salt. Don't be so tart. Don't be so sour. Now stand up. Out with the old. In with the new. Are you looking for the new? Are you wanting something new? You say, I want this year to be different. Begin to define what that means for you. So what would a new year that's different look like for you? What would it look like? What would you look like? Because see, your year is more determined by you than anything else. I mean, because nobody can decide anything for you. You decide what you're going to do with your life every day. You decide if you're going to praise God that day. You decide if you're going to be nice that day. You decide if you're going to do chores that day. You make decisions every single day. Live with purpose. My goal is I want to live with more purpose. That everything I'm doing, there's a purpose in it. Not just to please myself, but a purpose for the kingdom of God. Purpose for the kingdom of God. I belong to Him. I'm in His kingdom. He is the king of His kingdom. You're not the king. I'm not a king of His kingdom. He is. He is. And yet I can enjoy all the benefits of His kingdom by simply obeying Him. Are y'all ready for that this next year? Look into next year. Is next year ready for you? But I'm just saying that you can't change every situation because it involves people. You can change you. God has given you authority and power over all the power of your enemy to be able to change and be an agent of change for the glorious gospel. God, thank you so much for your words of life today. I thank you, God, you're teaching us, you're training us, really. You're training us to be agents, to be more and more like you, Jesus. And I thank you for the privilege of it. I thank you for the honor of it. I thank you, God, for the joy of it. Because everybody in this room on some level wants to be different. There's something we want. We would like to be different about us. And I thank you, God, that there's absolutely nothing stopping us. Except if we listen to the devil or not. But if we listen to your words, we see that we can change. Yes, we can. And we don't use the word, I can't. We don't use those two words in our life. When you're saying to us that we can do all things through you because you strengthen us and you help us to change. You want us to change because you know we'll be happier. We'll be so much happier if we do. Help us to be more loving. That we don't use unkind words. We're not quick to lash out at each other. Not quick with our words, but we're still honest, but we're not trying to mash anybody with our words. Help us with that, God, so that we can be viable witnesses. Help us to love one another as you have commanded us to do. You said, yet I give you a new commandment. All this morning we've talked about new. And that we're newborn babes. We desire the sincere milk of the word. We desire that so we can grow and become mature and be more and more like you, Jesus. Thank you for that our sins were nailed to that cross, Jesus. Oh my God, in your own body, you took it. And all the charges against us were wiped off those pages, never to be seen again. Only you, God, could do such a thing. This is why it's called good news. This is why we come to you so freely and gladly. It's because you're so awesome to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy New Year.